Welcome to Lawyers in the House with Motley. Wish you had a lawyer in the family? Now you do. Here's your host, Veronica Waters.
Hey, hey, welcome to Lawyers in the House with Motley. I'm your host, Veronica Waters. So excited to be here with you for this extra special episode. Arabella Babb Mansfield holds the distinguished honor of being the first woman lawyer in the United States. She was admitted to the Iowa Bar in 1869. Fast forward from the 19th century to the 21st century. What does the legal lay of the land look like for women in law today? As of 2021, women make up 55% of law school students, and in 2022, 38% of all lawyers are women. And some of these high-powered success stories are sitting with me right here today on Lawyers in the House. Michelle Mumpower comes to the law after being a successful biochemist slash inventor slash business person and did not always know that she wanted to be a lawyer when she was growing up in Jupiter, Florida. What's that journey been like?
Well, I always knew I wanted to help people in what I wanted to do. And as you said, I did pharmaceutical research and I felt like that would be a good way to help others, you know, produce drugs and antibiotics specifically is what our company did. And we got bought out one day and I thought, you know, this isn't what I want to do. So my mom said, why don't you try working for a law firm? Loved it and submitted my application to law school.
Now, Kate Powell comes to Montlake fairly recently, having graduated Georgia State Law in 2015, and I think always knew she wanted to be a lawyer. Are you a Georgia native, Kate?
Yes, I am.
All right. So did you know from when you were young, from watching your dad, whom I know is a lawyer who's made a name for himself, did you know that that's what you wanted to do?
I am very close with my dad. So again, shout out to Doug Powell. And I used to go and help him do filing at his office. So I was always very familiar with what he did. And he liked to talk about cases and how interesting his work was. I didn't know that that was exactly going to be my path until I realized kind of you can do so many things within the law that I thought that it would be a good career path because there are so many options and opportunities. And again, like Michelle said, I have always wanted to help people. So I have done, before law school, I did some nonprofit work, and I realized I could even amp this work up to the next level with a law degree.
Amazing. So it's funny how you can see avenues to the law, even in unrelated fields, unrelated parts of your life, seemingly. There's an avenue there. We're talking about women in law here with Montlake today. Thank you so much, Michelle and Kate, for being in the house.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So happy to be here.
So I want to say just first off the bat that it seems maybe a little unusual to have a show talking about women in law, because to me it seems like an everyday thing. Yet when you look at the stats and we find that according to the American Bar Association, just 38% of lawyers are women. I mean, it's a critical mass, but still a minority. Let's talk a little bit about the challenges and the upside of being a woman in law. First of all, because I'm used to seeing women in law, like I said, it doesn't seem like it would be a big thing, but is it hard? Is it harder from what you see? What are the challenges?
Yeah, I think it is difficult. The way I say I think it is difficult is the prior firms that I worked at, it was something I saw every day. There weren't a lot of women lawyers in the higher position, the managing attorney positions and things like that. They were more of the assistants and the paralegals. Mm-hmm. At Motlick, I don't think it's a challenge at all at our firm. You know, the women work together great. We have great support. I think it's more so we feel it kind of outside the firm when we're dealing with mediation, defense counsel, other adjusters, not so much sometimes other opposing counsels in cases where a lot of us have, you know, specifically Kate and I have formed relationships with those opposing counsels, but definitely feel it more outside the firm when you're dealing with the other party in our cases.
What about you, Kate? Do you see this journey? Like, you've had all of these years to sort of look at the law from different, different perspectives, right?
Yeah. And I would just kind of piggyback on what Michelle said is, if you think about the percentages, then you think about before we were in law school and before that, there was just a lot more men, or particularly a lot more white men, that were attorneys. So that kind of older generation of attorneys is a lot more male dominated. And so I've had experiences, and I know Michelle has had similar experiences, where I remember my first hearing where I had to make an oral argument. And it was in a more rural county, so I didn't know any of the other lawyers there. I had not met that judge before, and I was making my argument against an attorney who was also the state senator for that area.
Whoa.
And so I definitely felt like I was walking into a room, not only that it was new and I didn't know anyone, but as a woman, there is kind of a sense sometimes of like an old boys club or something like that, where I knew that the opposing attorney knew the judge. He was I saw him chatting with the judge as I walked into the room.
No pressure, right?
Yeah, so, you know, I went to a women's college where I gained my own feeling of confidence in myself. And I think being a lawyer and going through law school has taught me what I'm capable of and my confidence. But I definitely was going into the, like, private bathroom of the courthouse and doing my, like, power pose before I did my oral argument.
Do you feel that you have to bring something extra? Is there this pressure to have something extra when you step into a courtroom or into a conference room for a deposition or whatever it is?
Yeah, I think every day. I think it's something that it's not, as Kate was saying, as, you know, visually prominent, as people would say, because I went to law school as well, where, again, it was the white males. This is what they do. You know, I think it is something that we see quite often. I always feel like I have to prove myself, not only to attorneys, but my clients as well, which, you know, a lot of people forget that we're on your side and we're here for you and we're doing this for you. And this is what we love to do. And we're going to get you the best result we can. But there's always, you know, proving ourselves, whether it's in, you know, what we're talking about, how we're acting. I feel like it's an everyday thing we have to do.
Or even the example with the judge and the state senator. I knew in preparing for that I not only had to overcome the fact that they already had a relationship with each other, I also had to make an even more airtight argument. Again, going back to that kind of proving myself. Because like law with anything in life, the facts are there and it's in the confidence and the way that the attorney presents the facts that also make a difference.
I'm curious to know whether or not this plays into how you have to present yourself and how it dictates your personal style or mutes your personal style even.
I can recall kind of one experience that's always stood out with me when the first time. So in Florida, I went to law school in Florida. You can be what is called a certified legal intern, which means once you've been cleared by the Florida bar to take the bar exam, you can actually practice law under the guidance of another attorney. So I jumped at that the first opportunity I got. I'll never forget my first hearing. I went in, you know, large county in Florida, judge who's been there. And the first thing he had said was, you know, ma'am, approach the bench. And so I did. And of course, I'm nervous. I'm thinking, this is my first time. I'm sweating. I want to throw up. Like, I'm just, okay, this is, he's going to, you know, talk to me about how this works. And I'll never forget, he told me, you know, women in his courtroom wear heels, pantyhose, skirts, and white button downs. And he, in front of my client, berated me about that, sent me out the courtroom and rescheduled the hearing. And as soon as I called my legal research and writing teacher, the first thing she was said was, oh, that's Judge so-and-so. Wow. He was known for that. I mean, he was an older white gentleman. That's just, I guess, how he chose to run his law firm. I don't see that more as today. I think the way that our style is affected today is more of, what are we trying to portray to the jury or a mediator? I know Kate and I have multiple conversations with our litigation attorneys and clients before mediation to say, okay, let's not maybe wear all the name brands. You know, we don't want to perceive that you're just in this for the money. Mm. You know, yes, at the end of the day, we are getting compensation, but that's not what this is all about. It's how are you getting the compensation for your client? What are you trying to portray? And I think the way that we dress, it can be, you know, off coming and what to a jury or opposing counsel. So I think that's kind of more, not necessarily how it affects because I'm female, but more so what I want to portray as an attorney and what I want my client to portray to the jury.
Okay, well, so your story sort of kind of makes me think of My Cousin Vinny. We've seen this movie, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So remember how Vinny got berated a couple times by the judge because he came in his like little leather jacket and whatever
right.
he was wearing.
Suit and color.
Then, and then he came in the prom suit, velvet, you know, burgundy, whatever it was. You know, so understandably, judges want you to look professional, as many of our jobs require us to look. But to have such a strict dress code.
Yeah.
Like you got not just a dress or a skirt, but also pantyhose, but also heels, but also it's what is this? I mean, you don't think it's as current. What about you, Kate?
It does. And I agree that I haven't seen that as much like recently, but it is more restrictive for females than men, I think. We're breaking out of those stereotypes somewhat as kind of culture shifts, but it's like for a man, they're not, if you had a women in law episode, you wouldn't be talking about outfits with the men. It's like, what tie are they going to choose?
If we had a man in law episode.
If you had, yeah. But for women, it is very much, you know, we want to be thinking about what's in our minds and the facts of the case and the legal stuff. But we do have to spend, you know, the extra effort, especially if we're doing a hearing or we're doing trial or we're going in. I remember doing an interview during law school for the Georgia Supreme Court. And I'm like, whoa, I'm going up to the top for this interview. So I looked at the Supreme Court justices of the United States just on Google Images to see what those female justices wore. And I bought my shoes, my heel link, the same size, the same looking thing, because I said, okay, that is the appropriate legal dress for a woman for me to be taken seriously.
Have you had these challenges, like Michelle was mentioning, not just with judges, say, but like a client who looks at you and thinks, you know, you're the intern or something?
Yes, and that was kind of one of my stories that I'll always remember is that one of my very first depositions out of law school and after passing the bar, I had already communicated with the client, let them know that I was their attorney and worked on the case. And then when they showed up for the in-person deposition and they saw me, they said, "Where's my attorney?" And they assumed, and this is when I was working for my father, they assumed that he was the attorney and he would be there for the deposition.
Just quickly, how'd that make you feel?
You know, I had to overcome that and say, you know, I am happy to represent you. I am prepared for this. Everything's going to be fine and we will sit in there and do this together. And it just took a moment and then the client kind of recovered from it and it was fine. But it was definitely a hurdle, especially being one of my first depositions where I already had to kind of overcome that anxiety. But we went for it. And again, practicing law will teach you what you're capable of.
Women in Law with Montlake here on Lawyers in the House. We will be right back.
You're listening to our podcast, Lawyers in the House with Montlake. Join us 8 a.m. every Sunday if you want to listen live on 95.5 WSB.
Welcome back to Lawyers in the House with Montlake. I'm Veronica Waters here with Kate Powell and Michelle Mempawa. I don't know if you remember from the last time that Michelle was on the show. I could not resist, for some reason, saying her name in this English accent I'm trying to perfect. Anyway, Michelle Mempower and Kate Powell talking about women in the law. And we were just chatting off the air, ladies, about when you're having these stories come up, wondering, is it just me? Is it just me? And then realizing as you hear other women or talk to other women that, no, it's not just you. There are similarities and there are parallels and commonly shared experiences when you're a woman in law. I'm curious to know how soon you saw some of these challenges crop up. Take me back to law school when you were at Georgia State and when you were at Barry. What was that like? Did you have women instructors?
I went to a private law school down in Orlando, Florida, and I would say it was probably about 50-50, male and female. I felt that the male teachers were a little harsher, a little more you know, you had to be kind of quicker on your feet, demanding certain types of answers, kind of certain ways, whereas the female professors, it was a more of, okay, you think it's this, so let's talk about why you think it's this. Whereas I'll never forget my first period civil procedure professor. It was always, that's not the right answer. You should have read. You don't need to reread the case. It's not the right. Okay, we're going to go to someone else type situation. But it was more conversational and more kind of that compassion with the female attorneys, which I think really helped me in law school, because law is not crystal clear. It's not this or that. I mean, we're learning stuff every day.
Right. There's precedent, but correct. There are also arguments against maybe whatever that could be. Right.
And talking about things, which we constantly do at the firm and with other attorneys, you know, understanding how you got to that answer or that presumption is really what is required to be a good attorney. It's not just, okay, this is the law. It's how do you apply it?
So yeah, just to piggyback on what Michelle was saying, being in law school, being a lawyer requires a certain level of ability to do public speaking, ability to jump in and answer questions. And then if you kind of look at kind of psychological assessments or stereotypes of who typically jumps in and is aggressive and is vocal and believes that they're right, you know, it maybe typically is men. So in law school, you'll see the male students jumping forward possibly more. And you kind of have to learn that as a female student to be willing to be put on the spot. So it's a big lesson.
And how interesting is it, Kate and Michelle, that this UVA study finds that while men make up 55% of the cohort in law school, they speak 62% of the time versus women only speaking 38% of the time. Food for thought. Food for thought. We're talking women in law with Motlick here on Lawyers in the House. Coming up, why where you work can really matter. Stay with us.
You're listening to our podcast, Lawyers in the House with Motlick. Join us 8 a.m. every Sunday on 95.5 WSB.
Welcome back to Lawyers in the House with Motlick. I'm your host, Veronica Waters. We are here with two dynamic Motlick injury attorneys, Michelle Mumpower and Kate Powell, talking about women in law. And yes, there are boys clubs that exist out there, and we're talking to these wonderful attorneys about how you navigate those obstacles. Imagine having your client ask you when the lawyer is getting there, or having a judge tell you he's not going to hear your case until you put on pantyhose. If you missed any of these amazing stories and legal gems, then you will want to make sure that you check us out on all platforms. Social, we are Motlick Law. Make sure you go to find us every place that your favorite podcasts go to live. Like and subscribe and rate us, Lawyers in the House. And of course, always go to lawyersinthehouse.com, your source for audio and video, and the place where you can ask your personal questions 24/7 of any of these Motlick attorneys, lawyersinthehouse.com. We are talking to and about women in law today. Interestingly, this is going to be a segment talking about something that I don't know, Kate and Michelle, if men ever get asked about. The work-life balance.
Yep.
You're laughing. Because yep. I think you know it's true.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
We, a quick story is that sometimes people ask, we have three kids, 6, 3, and 1. And they'll ask me and not my husband, well, if you're working full-time, what are the kids doing? So why is that about me?
Head tilt. Excuse me. What? How fascinating that in 2022, and you're the mom of three, this is the question that you're getting asked. And Michelle, you're also a mom.
Yes.
Have you ever had a moment where your motherhood made somebody call your job into question?
Yeah, I mean, I have. When COVID had started, my daughter was about 7, 8 months now. She's 3, and I have a son that's 1. And there were multiple times where I'd have her bouncing on my hip just to keep her calm because she's fussy, or we were talking about earlier trying to, you know, eat paper out of the trash can just to kind of keep herself amused. And I'm trying to be mom but also multitask and work with my clients. And I had a client that we were just having a conversation, and he finally just stopped me and said, well, how can you even listen and work if your baby is sitting on your hip crying? And I had to talk to him and say, you know, Mr. So-and-so, I can do it very well. I have been doing this since COVID started. I'm still doing it. I feel like even if I didn't have kids, I could still multitask. It's not something that is not impossible to do, but it's, I think some clients just don't understand how can you be a mom as well as give my case 100%, which is completely opposite of what is true.
But of course, they don't ask the dads, I'm guessing.
Right.
I don't think my husband...
Or the male attorneys. They wouldn't ask necessarily the male attorneys, who's taking care of your kids, or are you able to manage my case when you also have kids?
Mm-hmm.
That question is not even on the radar. But I would also say, just to kind of follow up on that too, is that the positive side is I feel like motherhood gives us superpowers. Motherhood, again, is another thing in my life that has shown me what I'm capable of. So in terms of multitasking, it takes multitasking to the next level. It takes our care for our clients to the next level and compassion. Clients that have children, clients that have children that were injured in a car accident, you know, those kind of things bring us and our maternal energy to the forefront where we can even, you know, be better representatives of our clients.
Do clients, you think, seek out women sometimes because of these perceptions of compassion and empathy?
Of course, I think they did. Kate and I both did family law before this, and we've talked multiple times about how I think that really was an advantage. Personal injury, I think it is based on, you know, the type of case. I will say we've talked about clients that have issues with this being mom. Most of my clients love that I'm a mom. They always ask about my kids. They always ask, you know, your assistant said that you were out because your daughter was sick. How is she today? You know, how are you? What are they in now? I still have clients that we exchange Christmas cards every year. They send my daughter a birthday card. So I think it definitely is something that is more of an advantage because, like Kate said, it shows that we can have empathy and compassion. And, you know, most of the clients, if it's a female specific case or female specific injury and things, are not as comfortable talking to a male attorney.
How does Motlick help you meet these challenges to make it easier?
And I would say you kind of prompted this segment by saying it really does matter where you work and where you choose to spend your time. And so for being at attorneys at Motlick, that is a huge factor for me, and I think for Michelle too, and maybe some of the other moms that are attorneys here, is the flexibility. And I think COVID changed that for a lot of firms and companies in general. Mm-hmm. The ability to be in the office or work from home or go to the deposition or go to the hearing and be able to make it work within our complicated lifestyle, family life, work life. And Motlick is one of the only firms I know of that really makes that workable.
And Motlick was like this before COVID. I had maternity leave one time before COVID and afterwards. And just the support that we get from, you know, our managing attorneys, the lawyers, the staff, it definitely, you know, even before COVID, they were very supportive, very encouraging about, you know, having kids, having a family. And that's one of the reasons I started looking for another firm and eventually ended up at Motlick. Is the prior firm I was working at, I didn't feel that I would be able to have a family and have kids and have that flexibility of having to work from home if my daughter's homesick or having to leave early and not feeling the repercussions when I come back to work. Is because I always tell people, you know, if you're not 100% you, you can't be 100% for anybody else. And I think that's just something that is great.
So Motlick's always had your back, but have you ever had an instance where maybe that was not always the case outside the firm?
Yes. The two times I have actually taken maternity leave, I have been questioned by clients, can I give 100% to their case because now I have a child and now my attention may be on the child? And based on those conversations, I took it upon myself and I felt the need to apologize for having a baby to the client. But at the end of the day, it certainly does not affect what I am able to do for my clients. I think it actually makes me a better attorney because I am a working mother.
I am not a mom, but to hear that you had to apologize for bringing a life into the world really
takes me aback.
I think there's a typical view of what an attorney is, because the majority of attorneys still are kind of the white male stereotype or older white male, and that is definitely changing. But I think being a female attorney, being a mother who is also an attorney, almost humanizes the perception of attorney overall. That, yeah, we're working hard, we know everything that everybody else knows, we are prepared to fight for our clients, and we value our home life, our personal life, our family life, and that enriches our legal practice as well.
What do you do, Kate and Michelle, to strike that balance, to make sure that you're making time for what's important to you?
I think it's kind of all about scheduling and knowing what your limits are. I mean, there are times, you know, this week is one of the weeks where my daughter had an appointment on Monday. I had an appointment on Tuesday. Yesterday she had swim. Today I'm here. So it may not be as productive as I want it to be, but, you know, it's something that, because of the flexibility that we have and the trust that we have as an attorney, you know, as attorneys, especially with Motlick, is that I know I'm going to get my work done. It might not be when I want to do it, but just kind of learning that balance, but learning your limits and not, you know, overdoing it. I have no problem logging on if my kids are in bed and getting a couple hours of work.
Or maybe you're working on briefs while at swim practice.
I am.
that's what I call a lot of my clients. But Motlick also knows that you're going to get your work done.
Yes.
You don't feel like this micromanaging, right? So it helps. Again, it helps.
Absolutely.
So you have all this stuff pulling at you.
Absolutely. And I would just say, to answer your question and just reflect, it's a daily practice of trying to figure out what the balance is. Each day is a different equation to figure out. So, you know, it takes a lot of support. We get a lot of support from Motlick. It takes a lot of personal support from our family, our friend community. I like to do lead mom support groups and stuff, because just being a mom is a very difficult thing.
Let's talk about
let
that.
Alone being a working mom. So in doing practicing law.
Yeah. Let's talk about your group a little bit.
So ever since I had my first about 6 years ago, I really struggled with postpartum depression and anxiety. It was just a total life shift. I was just getting into practicing law. So I had so many things going on that I was wanting to reach out for resources. And so what I kind of found was reaching out to other moms that were kind of in my same boat, had just had children, friends and friends of friends. And we just created this support group that has kind of grown over time.
And how has that helped you and them?
I think it's in the community, and it's in when we meet, we basically just check in and talk about our experiences working and as mothers, and the emotions that are in the roller coaster of emotions that are kind of in the day-to-day life, and just hearing other moms' experiences in a safe space where you feel like you can share and you can hear another mom's experience is kind of multiple levels of healing in that.
Are there positive moments, advantages that being a woman in law present to you? Ooh, wee. That was a big pause.
Yes. I was like, I definitely have a response, but was looking at Michelle to see. There are so many positives to it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of what we've talked about today is the relationship aspect of it. I feel like I can build very deep relationships with my fellow attorneys, even with my clients. There's kind of this, especially if it's another female attorney or another attorney who's a parent or a mom, we already have commonalities.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels like a beautiful, joyful moment of this legal practice.
What say ye, Michelle?
Yeah, it was taking me a while to kind of think of how I was going to sum it up real quick. I think it allows the clients, I don't want to use the word allow us to get more vulnerable with the clients, but in a way we do. You know, I always say my clients are my family. And those moments that I am able to open up with clients and really get them to open up with me and develop those close relationships, I think allows us to better advocate for our clients. If we really know what they're going through on a day-to-day through the process, and to just have that, you know, person that cares and knows that, hey, we're here for you, allows us to be the best attorneys that we can be.
Quick question, because we are
about to come up on a commercial break here, but if you're in the courtroom, is there something where you can play up your femininity to sort of connect with a jury? I'm curious.
If opposing counsel is coming off the wrong way to the jury, sometimes, you know, I don't want to say that all male attorneys are like this, but the ones that are, that like to put on this persona of, you know, I'm a better attorney, and this is, it can rub a jury the wrong way. And if we see that, having that compassion a little bit can be like, okay, they don't like him, so let me now use what I need to do to come off as, you know, the sweet, loving, comforting person and get the jury to really like me and my client.
I love it. The Motley closing argument is coming up next here on Lawyers in the House with Motley. Words of advice for the next generation. Don't miss it.
You're listening to our podcast, Lawyers in the House with Motlick. If you want to listen to our radio show live, you can hear it every Sunday, 8 a.m. on 95.5 WSB.
Welcome back to Lawyers in the House with Motlick. I'm your host, Veronica Waters. So happy to be with you talking about women in law with Motlick injury attorneys Kay Powell and Michelle Mumpower. You've been waiting for it all hour long, the Motlick closing argument. And I'm going to kick off the argument with a quick question. What advice would you give yourself as a young law student and those coming behind you?
I think starting with your question, the first advice I would give myself is don't question anything. Just do it. You can do it. Anything you want to do. I think the best advice that I can give someone thinking about going to law school is see if you can work for a law firm. See if you can find another attorney to be a mentor and kind of talk about and ask those tough questions. The same advice I would give to someone in law school would be join the organizations, join the local bar association. My mentor in law school was another female attorney that took the time to basically take me to court with her, shadow her, allow me to handle cases on my own. And I think that really opened my eyes into kind of what to expect in the legal field and allowed me to be a better attorney.
Yep. And I would say the same is true for when you get out of law school and you're taking the bar exam, you're looking for jobs. It's all about the relationship building. So you meet people, you join the groups, and you're not meeting them for, you are going to give me a job. It is a pretty much a lifelong relationship that you're building with these other people and mentors in the field. And I think advice that I would, that I have kept with me and that I would again reflect on and give back to myself as that young lawyer is, one of the things is my trial coach in law school kept telling us, everyone does this for the first time. Everyone does their first deposition. Everyone does their first trial. Everyone does it, and we're all humans. We're in this together, and it's okay. You can do it. Something my dad, a big thing that my dad has imparted to me when I'm nervous or if it was my first time doing something, I was just out of law school, he said preparation. So it all that matters, and that helps with the anxiety leading up to the event or the hearing, is how prepared you are. So those are some of the things that I've kept with me. And then again, kind of circling it back to being moms and practicing law, is one of my female law school professor mentors who I worked for. She kept saying the phrase, you can have it all. You can do it all. You can do this. You can have a family. You can have a very thriving law practice. You can do it all.
And the rest, as they say, is her story. Thank you so much for that nugget, Kate Powell, for this nugget, these previous nuggets, Michelle Mumpower. I appreciate you so much. Thanks for sharing your journey here with us on Lawyers in the House with Motlick. And to close, I want to talk about the words of the first woman Supreme Court Justice, Sandra Day O'Connor. She said, it's fine to be the first, but you don't want to be the last. Women in Law, this is Lawyers in the House with Motlick.
You're listening to our podcast, Lawyers in the House with Motlick. Catch us live every Sunday, 8 a.m. on 95.5 WSB.